quiet in here. Awesome. So you guys awake yet? No? No. That's too much sleep. Cool. So, past few times I've taught, I've just opened up my heart to you guys. You guys might remember, past 3-4 times I've taught. And quite honestly, today is not going to be any different. We're not going to be in Proverbs. I'm just going to open up my heart and go into a different area as well. I mean, past few times I taught, I talked about trusting in God in spite of the circumstances. I talked about giving it all up and following after Him. And something that ties both those together and is vital and crucial in our walk is prayer. Now, I remember when I became a Christian, I was like, how do I pray? Born and raised a Catholic, you know, it was certain prayers, so many times before I went to sleep, you know, making the sign of the cross and so forth. And I really didn't know how to pray when I was a Christian. I was like, do I pray differently? What do I do? You know, do I still do the same types of things I did when I was a Catholic? And so often, as Christians, we really don't desire to learn how to pray better. And prayer is so awesome. It's our communication to God. It's where we have our most intimate times with God, is through our prayer. And just seeking Him and just letting our concerns and our requests be made known to Him. So let me ask you guys, what is prayer? It's the things I just said, right? It's our communication to God. It's us talking to God as we talk to our friends. It's letting our requests be made known. It's letting Him know our needs and our problems and our concerns. But it's also a major part of being a Christian. You know, I've heard Christians in my life say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church once in a while. I pray here and there. I read my Bible as much as I possibly can, you know. But did you notice that they said they pray here and there? How strong is your walk going to be if you're only praying here and there? As opposed to if you're praying throughout the day, when you wake up, throughout the day, and when you go to sleep. Paul says to pray without ceasing. And I love when I love that time when I'm just talking to people and it's like, oh, I'm going through this. It's just like, dude, why not just start bust out in prayer right then and there, that even though they might be talking, you just say a silent prayer for them. Well, prayer is so huge in our life and has a great effect upon us in our relationship with God. And today we're gonna get a really good example of how we should pray. Jesus teaches us really well in the Gospel of Matthew, as well as in the Gospel of Luke, how to pray. So go ahead and turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and that is where we're going to be at today. Let's open up in prayer. Some on the back. Father God, we just come before you humbly, Lord, this morning, and we just thank you for such a beautiful day. We thank you that this day is new, Lord, and that we could just gather together to proclaim your name, to study your word, and to be fed. Lord, speak to our hearts. Let's listen with our hearts and with our ears, Lord, and let us grasp what you're teaching us today. Let us apply it in our lives. Lord, come and fill this room up, Lord. Jesus' name, amen. So I want you to notice this. This it's known as, what's that? Chapter 6, verse 5. Now this part of Scripture, Jesus is in, is on the mount, is doing the Sermon on the Mount. And his disciples want to learn how to pray. They've been seeing Jesus pray and they're like, Jesus, teach us how to pray. So this is where verse 5 picks up. He teaches the disciples how to pray and how not to pray. Notice with me and read with me in verse 5. It says, and when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So the hypocrites he's speaking of in verse 5 here is two-faced people, right? Says one thing, doing another. Actually, in the Greek, a hypocrite was usually referred to as, or was illustrated as an actor, who, when they were acting, would wear this mask that one would be smiling, one would be frowning. You guys probably seen those masks around. And it's so that the audience could see their emotions, even when they're in the very back and the very top of the amphitheater, so that they can know what's going on. Even though the actor behind that mask may be really down and out or completely opposite of the mask that he's wearing. And the thing about the hypocrites here is that when they pray, they love to be seen by men. And this tradition actually still carries on with the Muslims. As a matter of fact, then and now, there are certain times of the day when they would go out and have to pray. It doesn't matter what they're doing, where they're at, they'd have to stop what they're doing at these certain times. It'd be 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock noon, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they're driving down the road, and hey, it's 12 o'clock. It's about to approach 12 o'clock. I'm going to pull over, get out of my car, and start praying. As a matter of fact, some of these people would even plan their day so that they would be in the most public area when these times came. So like, oh, it's 3 o'clock. Hey, I just happen to be in the busiest synagogue in the town. Hey, what a coincidence. I'll start praying. And they did this so that they would be noticed by men, so that people would say, man, look how righteous he is. Look how holy he is. He's in a public place and he's just praying so loud, louder than anybody. Man, that guy's righteous. It's really bogus. I mean, look at what Jesus says about it. He says that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. For them to have their reputation and people to notice them, that's the reward. Now, would you rather have that, or would you rather have an amazing relationship with God and be rewarded openly, even though your prayer life's in secret? Notice with me in the contrast between verses 5 and 6. Jesus says in verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. So the idea behind verse 6 is He wants us to go in private and talk with Him, communicate with Him. Now, there's nothing wrong with group prayer. That's perfectly fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with praying in a restaurant before you eat. There's nothing wrong with prayer openly. But there's something to be said about prayer when it's just you and God and nothing else. I'm sure some of us could relate to that. I mean, it's just so awesome. It doesn't even have to be a room. Think about Jesus. He went off into the Garden of Gethsemane by himself before he was arrested and betrayed, taken up on the cross. He was on the mount before he walked on water. The idea is those private times, it's just you and God, you talking to Him. It's just so amazingly intimate and it's just so awesome. And if you guys haven't experienced that, man, you guys are missing out, honestly. Now, I don't know how often you guys pray, but next time you're alone and it's just you and you're in your room or out by yourself, turn off everything and just start praying. And you're going to experience God in ways you've never experienced Him before. But what a contrast between verses 5 and 6. One's not seen by men, one is seen by men. But in verse 6, you're rewarded openly. You're meeting God in a secret place. You might remember in the temple where God was concealed, but He was in what's called the holiest of holies, in the middle of the temple. It was this room that was covered with linen. Had the Ark of the Covenant in there. And there was only one priest who could go in there once a year. And it's a secret place. Not everybody could go into the secret place back then. Only that one person. And as a matter of fact, they'd have to make sure that their life was completely clean and completely sin-free and completely righteous before that priest entered the holiest of holies. Or else he'd be struck and dead. So what they would do is, in case that was the case, they would tie boughs on them. So in case they dropped dead, they would know, and they would also have a rope tied on them so they could pull them out. But us as being Christians, we don't have to worry about making sure our lives is completely clean and spotless before we talk to God. We all sin, we all mess up continually every day. And it's through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus that enables us to call God Father, to call Him Abba, to call Him Daddy. And it's through that sacrifice that we could just come humbly before Him, before His throne, and have fellowship with Him and call Him friend. Now, in verse 7, notice it says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Remember how I was saying that earlier, how, well, when I became a Christian, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know if I said the same prayers, or I said the same amount of times. Well, I grew up as a Catholic, and part of their religion is saying certain prayers certain times, and if you say certain prayers certain amount of times, then you're forgiven and all is well, and hey, you know, go on living a carefree life. And the sad part is, man, I look back and a lot of those prayers are just pure empty words. They had no heart. They had lost their meaning in my life. And I would just say them as fast as I possibly can to get through them. He doesn't want us to use vain repetitions. Pointless, meaningless words that don't even speak from our heart. If you are going to use repetitions, make sure they're meaningful. And when you pray, make sure that you really do mean what you pray. Not only that, but really think about what you're praying and what you're saying as you're talking to God. I mean, so why communicate to Him if we're not going to think about it, what we're going to say? If we're not going to pour out our heart to Him? If we're not going to just talk to Him as we talk to a friend? So what's the point? If we're not doing that, then your walk is going to be greatly hindered. Your prayers don't have to be long, guys. I mean, they could be really short. Remember when Peter was walking on the water going out to Jesus? Peter started sinking. What did Jesus do? He cried out to Jesus and saying, "Lord, save me." 3 words. Amazing prayer. And it was heard, and it was answered. Then we got examples of Jesus where He's going in prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that He went into the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed for an hour. You guys remember that? And then, also, I think it's in Matthew 26. Let me double check. Could be wrong. Yeah. But there's one where He went into the mountain at sunset when it became dark to pray. And then He didn't come down from the mountain until the fourth hour of the night, the fourth watch of the night, which is about sunrise. So you can see, what, 12 hours? And anytime Jesus prayed for an extensive amount of time, an hour, 12 hours, He was always in private. But when Jesus prayed publicly, they were short, sweet, and concise. They're straight to the point. You know, sometimes as Christians, we get in our prayer groups, and it's like, oh, that person prays really awesome. Wow, he prayed for a long time. He prayed for 5 minutes. I want to boost that up to 7 minutes. And the next thing you know, you're just having this prayer length war. Who could pray longer? And it's just like, it's not about that. It's just about pouring out your heart to God. Christian, I want to challenge you guys to pour out your heart every time you talk to God. And make sure that you really mean what you're saying, and that, yes, there are times when we do repeat our prayers, but make sure that they're meaningful. In verse 8, says, "Therefore, do not be like them," speaking of the heathens and the hypocrites, "for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." How awesome is that? Our Father, God Almighty, who is in heaven, knows the things before we ask Him. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that just get you excited? I mean, think about that. Even though He knows the things that we have need of before we ask Him, does not mean we do not need to talk to Him. It's just a good example that He's all-knowing. Now, because He's all-knowing, and He knows the things that we need. Nothing's going to catch him by surprise. Nothing's going to catch him off guard. It's not like he's going to say, oh, that's right, Eric. Oh, yeah, now what's he doing? Oh, that's right, I remember. No, he's not going to say that. He knows exactly the needs and the desires on our heart before we even ask him. So nothing's going to catch him off guard. It's like, hey, God, I don't know if you saw me today, but I messed up bad. It's like, dude, what? Like, you're not going to surprise God. In the next chapter, in verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives it, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So Jesus says that God is all-knowing, but yet you need to ask. You need to knock and you need to seek. How could you have if you don't ask? There's been times in my life as a Christian, it's like, I've seen people and it's like, oh, I could have used that. They're like, how come you didn't ask? Oh, snap. And isn't it true, though? I mean, honestly, it's like, oh, man, hey, I could have used, oh, man, dang it. Only if I'd have asked. It's silly not to ask for God for the things that we really need. Okay.
No, I said you can always just throw that in later.
Yeah, it's never too late to ask. You know, what's funny is, how many times have you heard, yeah, I keep praying to God and I keep asking God for me to win the lottery, but it hasn't happened yet. It's just silly. It's a silly prayer. In James chapter 4, I love what James says in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. He's saying, guys, if you're going to ask for anything, make sure that it's just not going to be for your pleasure. Make sure that it's going to be really meaningful and that you need it. That's just like the people asking to win the lottery. What are they going to do with money? Be greedy and selfish? They say, yeah, I'll buy me a house. I'll buy me a car or a couple cars. I might give a little bit of money away. I'm going to go travel. Then I'm just going to invest in rest and I'm going to make more money. That's just so they can spend it on their own pleasures. Yeah, ask for food, ask for clothes, ask for His will to be done in your life. And ask Him to give you the things that He wants you to have. And if He happens to give you an Xbox, praise God. If He doesn't provide an Xbox, praise God anyway. You know, I've been wanting an Xbox 360 for some time now. I still don't got one. Yes. Exactly. I love that. That is awesome, Sam. It also, how often, if we do get an Xbox, how much time do we spend playing the Xbox?
Forever.
Exactly. When we could be increasing our relationship with God. And at times I find myself guilty of watching too much TV and not spending enough time in the Word. It's just like, dude, I got to get away. I got to go spend time with God. I got to go pray. I got to go have my quiet time. I got to get away from the TV. But He wants you to ask for things that you really need in your life. Yeah, money is essential in today's society. But excessive amounts of money is not essential. There's been times in my life where I haven't worked for 4 months, and it's like, all right, God, well, I just finished obeying you, and I gave up my job, and I went on these two trips, and Now I don't have a job and I live on my own and I don't know how I'm going to pay rent. I don't know how I'm going to get food or get gas in my car. Hey, but I know you're going to provide. And so I'll just open up my heart and ask him. Boom, rent's paid. Gas in the car. There's food in my refrigerator. It's just so awesome that God continually is faithful to provide the things that we need. In verse 9, here's a model prayer. The Lord's Prayer, as it's known in the Catholicism way, it says it's the Our Father. In all actuality, it's the example Jesus gives us to pray. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, think about that. Our Father. If you're a child of God, He's your Father. Yes, He is God Almighty. Yes, He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Yes, He is your friend. But He's also your Father. He's Abba Father. In other words, He's Daddy. He's Papa. And He wants you to call Him Father or Daddy. Think about how awesome that is. And I remember the first time I heard a Christian say, good morning, Daddy. And I was just like, I kind of chuckled because it was just so funny because I've really never heard anybody say, good morning, Daddy, when they're praying to God. And I, as I think about that, it's so awesome coming to Him as a child. You guys might have a younger brother or sister, know a young child, maybe be 2 or 3 years old, and like, Daddy, like they just get so excited when they see Daddy or Mommy, and they go to their dad with open arms, wanting to be hugged and just wanting to spend time with Him. And that's how we should be. Even though He's in heaven, He's here with us right now on earth. And this is speaking of His omnipresence, Him being everywhere at the same time. As He's here right now in the Plex and at Calvary of Albuquerque, He's in the sanctuary. He's also in the rest of the state, in the rest of the country, in the rest of the world, all right now. And I love the fact that God is always close by. That we don't have to search for Him. Like crazy that He's just right there next to us. And He'll always be there. I want to ask you guys, who knows what hallowed means? Hallowed. It's a word that's not very common anymore in today's language, right? We don't use that word. We don't see that word that much. Well, the word hallowed means to make holy or separated or to be transparent. He says, holy and separated and transparent be your name. It's just so awesome how God is just everywhere at the same time and gives us the ability to call Him Father. And it's just so incredible. Notice with me in verse 10, He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I love verse 10 because of the fact that it's focused completely on God's will. Not our will, but His will. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it done in heaven? Should be how it's done on earth. And one day it will be that way. When we get the new heavens and the new earth, after this earth and the heavens pass away, the new heaven will descend out of the clouds of New Jerusalem. And it's going to be amazing. There's not going to be no more sin, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sun, no more moon, no more stars. What? What was that? Are you serious? Yeah. How awesome is that going to be? There's not going to be no sun, moon, stars, sickness, pain, tears, anything. But God in His glory is going to illuminate it. Isn't that awesome? So, Christian, ask yourself today, are you glorifying God in your life, in your prayer life, and in your walk? You know, sometimes as Christians, we focus on our will, right? How many times do we focus on the things that we want? Yeah, it's pretty sad. Instead of focusing on the stuff that we want, we should be focusing on the thing that He wants for us. In verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us. Notice here that not once in this prayer is there a singular pronoun, but it's us or we. It's so awesome that knowing whatever you're going through, another Christian somewhere else is pretty much going through the same thing somewhere else. So when you pray, include them. Father, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't think I could go on. But there's plenty of Christians out there that we are tired, that we are exhausted, that we don't think we could go on, but give us the strength. It's talking about humility. And I love, look at verse 12, verse 11 says, our daily bread, he's talking about our food for the preservation of our bodies so that we can continue living and glorifying God. And our daily bread is a blessing to us, and we should be blessed by it, and we should give thanks for the food that we eat. So often as Christians, we're so hungry and we just forget to pray. Next thing you know, the whole meal is gone. And a few meals are gone. And it's like, oh, wow, I haven't given thanks for this meal, all the meals I've eaten today. Whoops. Like, it's just really sad. But he's saying, give thanks. And God was going to provide everything that you guys need. Verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts. The debts he's talking about is our sins. Our daily sinning debts. It was our sins, our debts that Jesus paid upon the cross. He took our debt away by paying the price, which was His life for us, so that we could have eternal life, so that we could be forgiven, so that when God sees us, He sees Jesus. Are you serious? God sees each one of us as Jesus. As the image of Jesus, pure and holy, white as snow. We're completely clean. Now, that doesn't give you a license to sin, but should give you an amazing desire to sin less. But along with us being forgiven, we need to forgive the people who wrong us on a continual basis, and that occurs quite often. Verse 13, it says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. The temptation is not talking about sin. For James in chapter 1 says, verse 13, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one when is tempted, when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. But the temptation he's talking about here is the trials that we face. And to deliver us from the evil one, to deliver us from Satan and his angels. But know that we are going to face trials and tribulations in our life. And even though we do pray this prayer and it says, do not lead us into temptation, do not lead us into trials, knowing that we are going to face trials and tribulations, know that when we do face those, that we could face those with joy and happiness because that we know that God's in control. And He won't give us anything more than we can handle. For yours is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. I love how this prayer just ends in amazing praise. Guys, and that's how our life should be, so practice this prayer. Learn and study this prayer. And as this prayer ends in praise, I can't wait to, and I pray and I ask that when I die, I pray that I will be praising God. How awesome would that be? And just, it's so awesome. Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you and we just thank you for setting the example of how we should pray through Jesus. Lord, let us live a life of prayer that's more intimate with you, that's more focused upon you and less upon us. Let it be focused more upon your will and not our will. God, we just thank you for this day and all that you've continually provided for us and that you're going to provide. Lord, let us be a blessing to this world. Guide us as we and use us as we step out into this darkened world. Father, thank you. In your name we pray.